As the sermon notes are coming around, let's pray for God to work in us. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are kind to those who are ungrateful and even to those who are evil. We pray that our hearts and ears and lives and actions would be open to the transforming power of your word today. Lord, please bless the words that I speak with your Holy Spirit so that we may live as your children. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm a sports nerd, excuse me, so I'm going to start with a sporting pop quiz. Don't look at your notes because that's cheating. I wonder if anyone can tell me who this man is. Ah, thanks, Deb. I thought someone would get it. Steve Hooker. And do you know what he did? What was his... Yeah, pole vault. And he actually won a gold medal for Australia in pole vault in the Beijing Olympics in 2008. And I actually remember watching the final of the pole vault. It's a crazy sport, right? The bar goes up like 5 to 6 meters, and then these men and women, elite athletes, run in at high speed with a big fiberglass pole in their hand, and they try and leap over the bar using the pole and land on the mat. It's crazy. It's dangerous. Like, I have seen athletes miss the mat when they have gone for the bar, and you go, wow, you know, how do they even survive a fall from that height, let alone everything has to go right for you to clear the bar in the sport of pole vault, right? And not only that, but they just keep raising the bar higher and higher until the last athlete cannot any longer jump over the bar. Pole vault, raising the bar, crazy, dangerous, not very easy. I want you to keep that in mind as we look today at the ethics of Jesus in Luke 6. I believe that in Luke 6, Jesus raises the bar on ethics and gives us, his people, and all people, the highest ethical standard that has ever been proposed. The highest ethical standard that has ever been proposed. Let's have a read again of Luke chapter 6. If you've got a church Bible that is found on page 1000 and something, 1033. Jesus says, "To you who are listening, I say to you, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." And then later in verse 31, he says, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." Does anyone know what this saying is called? Do to others what you would have them do to you? It's called the Golden Rule. And some version of the Golden Rule is found in most religions and ethical systems. But here in Luke chapter 6, Jesus gives us the clearest articulation of what the Golden Rule actually means and the highest ethical standard, I believe, that's ever been proposed. Now, I want to contrast the Golden Rule. Read that one with me. Do to others what you would have them do to you, with what has often been called the Silver Rule. And the Silver Rule goes like this, and let's read it together. Don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. Let's just think about that for a minute. Mark is grinning at me. Mark, what's the difference between the Golden Rule and the Silver Rule? Ah, he's just preached my entire sermon for me. Well done, Mark. One's active and one's passive. I can keep the Silver Rule by not doing anything at all. Here I am, right now, keeping the Silver Rule. I'm not doing anything to anyone else that I wouldn't want them to do to me. I don't have to do anything in order to keep the Silver Rule. But with the Golden Rule, there's an activeness to it, isn't it? There's kind of an aggressiveness, aggressive goodness, if I can put things in those terms. Most religions and ethical systems work by the Silver Rule. Don't do anything to others that you don't want them to do to you. And sometimes they have a version of the Golden Rule that is still a little bit self-interested. If you do good to others, they will do good to you, or that kind of thing. I'm not saying that Jesus is the only person or the first person to have articulated the golden rule, because that's not true. We find it in Jewish scripture and in many of the scriptures of the world. But Jesus raises the bar on ethics and gives us the clearest and most challenging picture of what living that out actually means that we've ever seen. It's active goodness versus passive goodness, as Mark so correctly and cheerfully pointed out. The golden rule is about actively doing good, as Jesus said, even to those who are seeking actively to do you harm. Not just to the nice people, not just to the people that we like and the ones that we get on well with. Jesus says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Small excursus here on the verse 29. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. There's a whole another sermon here about what Jesus actually means by this verse and the parallel in Matthew. And let me just say, Jesus is not advocating passive acquiescence to abuse or evil. He's actually advocating creative, non-violent resistance to evil. But once again, there's a whole sermon in there that I cannot unpack right now. That verse has often been misused and misquoted by Christians and by preachers to say you should be a doormat, you should roll over, you should just let people do bad things to you. There's a whole lot of cultural background behind it that means that that is not what Jesus is saying. Okay. But Jesus is saying that we are to do active good even to those who seek to do us active harm. And as I read what Jesus says here, I am worried, shocked even, when I consider my own life and my own thoughts. The Danish Lutheran philosopher Søren Kierkegaard said this about the ethical demands of Jesus in the New Testament. And I've got this extended quote in your notes. I'm going to read the whole thing. It's very, very powerful, I think. Kierkegaard said, "The matter is quite simple. The Bible is very easy to understand. But we Christians are a bunch of scheming swindlers. We pretend to be unable to understand it because we know very well that the minute we understand, we are obliged to act accordingly. Take any words in the New Testament and forget everything except pledging yourself to act accordingly. My God, you will say, if I do that, my whole life will be ruined. How would I ever get on in the world? Herein lies the real place of Christian scholarship. Christian scholarship is the church's prodigious invention to defend itself against the Bible." Cutting words, aren't they? "To ensure that we can continue to be good Christians without the Bible coming too close. Oh, priceless scholarship, what would we do without you? Dreadful it is to fall into the hands of the living God. Yes, it is even dreadful to be alone with the New Testament." And that's how I feel when I read the words of Jesus. Because Jesus has raised the bar, but I recognize that like an pole vault athlete who misses the run-up, that I am falling short and I am in big trouble. You see, Jesus here is not just giving us an ethic for our actions, but also for our heart, our will, our intentions, and our thought life. Can someone read verse 37, please, in Luke chapter 6, verse 37. "Do not judge, and you will not be judged." It's confession time. I'm a pastor. you all know that I'm a sinner as well as each of us is. But do not judge. I tell you, that's hard, and that's one that I fall short of often. And in fact, the strange thing is that the place and the time that I fall short of that most often is when I'm around my brother pastors, and I look at them and I go, I'm better than you. You're not a good pastor. You don't work hard. Whatever it might be, but I am judging them in my thoughts and feelings. My thoughts and the attitudes of my heart are brought into the spotlight by Jesus' words here. And what Jesus is saying to each of us as his followers is, as he says, with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. He's saying, you're basically saying by your thoughts and actions, Almighty God, I am asking you to treat me as I treat others. That's what Jesus is saying here in verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. If God is going to judge me by the way that I judge others in my thoughts and actions, then I have fallen short of his standard. And that's true, I believe, for each one of us. I'm in big trouble. I'm falling short. I'm missing the mat. I'm not getting over the bar that Jesus has set. But there's another bar, a bar that Jesus was raised on, the beam of a cross. And in going to the cross for us, Jesus actually lives out the ethic of God that he is describing and proclaiming here in Luke chapter 7. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 5 to 11. And I'll get someone to read that out again, nice and loud for us. Romans 5, verse 5 to 11. It's page 1130 in the Pew Bible. Can you see what's happening here? Jesus says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who ill-treat you. And here in Romans it says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, while we were God's enemies, Christ died for us. God shows to us the love for us, even as his enemies, that he calls us to show to others. And let's turn over just for one more. There's many more examples of this, but Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 to 23. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Page 1182. Does someone have Colossians 1, verse 19 to 23? Thanks, Sylv. There it is again. Once you are alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he's reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus says, the Most High is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Jesus has not only raised the bar, he has been raised on the crossbar to reconcile us to God and to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, to make us holy in God's sight, to make us pure in God's sight. God is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked, even to me, even to this judgmental pastor. God shows his kindness and love in the life and death of Jesus. Even to you, in the worst of your rebellion and sin, when you feel ashamed to even think of yourself as a Christian, God shows his kindness and his love and his forgiveness through Jesus. Jesus is therefore the one who has truly lived out, do to others what you would have them do to you. He is the one who has truly lived out, love your enemies. Even as he was being nailed to the cross, he prayed for the people who were putting him up there. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Jesus did this so that we might be reconciled to God. God is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. It's worth saying again and again because it's good news for us. Through Jesus, God has compassion and forgives us even when we act as his enemies. So, does that let us off the hook? Does that mean we don't have to do anything? Does it mean that there's no bar anymore, that Jesus' words here in Luke chapter 6 are kind of cancelled out? No, because the Christian ethic is about being who you are, being who God has made you to be through Jesus. The Christian ethic is to see a community that is shaped by God's love and by Jesus' ethics, a community that takes what Jesus says seriously, knowing that we will fall short, but aiming to live out our identity as children of God and shine the light of Christ. This is the way that Jesus puts it in Luke chapter 6. He says, love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do you hear it? You are children of God. Because of what Jesus has done in being raised on the bar, on the cross, you are God's children, and you reflect the light of Christ individually and together into the community. And so we seek to be, knowing that we're going to fall short, knowing that God will forgive us, under the power of the Holy Spirit, we seek to be a community that lives out this new identity as children of God, shining the light of Christ with a new heart and a new spirit. In my life, I've seen a number of people who have come to faith in Christ as adults. And it's a wonderful thing when that happens. We saw Craig baptized a couple of weeks ago. A joyful day for our congregation, for Craig, and for the angels in heaven. And what almost all of those people have said to me as they journey with Jesus, as they walk with the risen Jesus, and as they grow in their faith, they have said, you know, God has changed my heart. God has changed my internal motivations and the way that I think about other people. God has is in the process of removing my selfishness and making me to be more generous, more compassionate, more kind, more outward looking, more prayerful, more forgiving. And that's what Jesus does for us. He places in us a new heart and a new spirit that changes our motivations and changes our thoughts and helps us to live out what he has called us to do in Luke chapter 6. So let me just read those key verses again to finish with. Love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is ungrateful, he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the depth of your mercy to me, to us, to our world through Jesus. Father, please shape our thoughts and desires, our actions and our motivations to reflect our identity as your children and your love for us through Jesus. May we be people and a community that reflects the light of Christ as we walk with him each day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.